Let's pray. Dearly Father, we thank you for the blood that rescues us. We thank you for the salvation that we find in Jesus Christ and the opportunity this morning to celebrate the salvation of some of the members of our church who are getting baptized and getting to share their testimony. May we celebrate with them, but ultimately worship you, our great God. We thank you. We love you. We praise you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, good morning. It's good to be here. It is such a grace to worship with you. If you're visiting, maybe you're here to support someone who's getting baptized, thank you for coming. We hope that you get to kind of see the gospel and hear the gospel through the sharing and the testimonies, but also get to kind of witness the gospel in the love of our church family. This morning, we have the blessing of hearing the testimonies, witnessing the baptisms of 15 of our church family. The first eight of them were in the first service, seven are in this service. And part of what I love about a morning like this is that the baptisms and the testimonies really put the Christian faith on display. Because I think too often the world misses what we are about. Right? Being a pastor, my job is kind of a natural starting place for conversations about faith. So on more than one occasion, someone will ask me, what do you do? And I'll say, I'm a pastor. And they almost feel obligated to kind of confess, like, oh, man, like I used to go to church, right? And I feel like I have one of the few jobs that elicits such a confession. Like if, I don't know, if you're an accountant, you tell someone I'm an accountant, I'm guessing they're not saying, oh, yeah, I used to do math. Like, I don't, it probably's not like that. I still think that response is better than when people find out I'm a pastor and they ask what I do for the other 6 days. And the best time was when a believer asked me that, and they'd actually heard me preach. So he listened to my message and thought, yeah, he probably came up with that on the spot. I wonder what he does for the rest of the week. But to my point, I think in people's confession about church, you get a picture of what people actually think about Christianity. Maybe it's a place to go on a Sunday morning. It's religion. It's some version of spirituality. But these fall far short of demonstrating what the Christian faith is really about. So again, that's one of the reasons that I love Baptism Sundays, because they put the story of our faith on display in one of the most beautiful ways. Now, baptism itself is a symbol of our faith. It doesn't save you. It represents something. In part, it pictures, in brief, the story of the Christian life. Listen to Romans 6:4. It says, we are buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. That's actually the story of a believer. And not only will we kind of get to see the story displayed through the baptisms, but we get to hear the stories of those being baptized through their testimonies. They're going to share their story of their Christian faith. And so again, part of the beauty of a morning like this is we get to kind of witness the story of our faith. So what makes the Christian story unique? Because as you all know, we all have a story, right? Believer, unbeliever alike. It's kind of the events and the narratives of our lives. And while each of our stories is unique, they are the same in this sense. They follow the exact same path, life then death. Every single person that ever lived is on that journey. Everyone kind of gets this. We live, we die. But realize the Bible tells us why life is that way. Right? Because in the beginning of our story, when our world was made, everything was right and good. God, the creator, the author of the story, made the world, and it was paradise. It was humanity in perfect relationship with their maker. Now, needless to say, this doesn't describe the world we live in. Why? Because sin entered the picture, and it ruined everything. Like, if you're not a Christian, you're wondering, like, why is the world so messed up? It's because we live in a world devastated by sin. Sin is not only the wrong things that we do, but it's the virus that kind of infects the entire creation. And what makes it worse is that every sin of ours, first and foremost, is against God, because we've disobeyed him and he's our maker. So if we're selfish with someone, if we're impatient with our family or discontent over our lives, those sins are first against God. The Bible tells us too that God is righteous and he is holy. He's absolutely perfect. meaning he has to deal with sin. He can't just ignore sin or dismiss sin, because that would be unjust, that would be unfair, and God is always fair. He's always just. And so kind of the curse of sin is death, and with death comes judgment and hell. In other words, sin brings eternal death, and this is why our story, in one sense, all seems the same. The story of every person who's ever existed, sinners awaiting the just judgment of God, life, then eternal death. But this story is helpful because it kind of explains why we often live like we do. Because all of us, knowing the inevitability of what is coming, we seek a better story, some version of a happily ever after. It's like watching a movie where you want the heroes to save the day or the couple to fall in love or some story of redemption. A little while back, my wife and I were going to see Downton Abbey, Judge Away. But I knew there was a guy from the church actually wanted to see it, so I texted him to see if he wanted to come with us. But I actually texted an old number, and so I was texting someone random, do you want to go see Downton Abbey, which sounds like the biggest scam in the world. Like, and if you want to come, if you could send me your social security number too. And so I texted multiple times, and the stranger apparently didn't want to come. But you watch movies like that because you want to see that happily ever after. And the same is true of our lives. Because the sufferings and struggles of this world, they're just shadows of the final death to come. And so our lives become the pursuit of something better. And so we long for something to make things right, some success, some romance, some relationship, some joy that will offer a reprieve from what we know is inevitable. We want something that will change our story. But if that's everyone's story, then like I asked earlier, what makes the Christian story unique? What makes our story different is that Christ changed it. In fact, that's what's going to happen this morning. Members of our church family are going to share how their stories were changed because of Jesus. Because as you'll listen to their testimonies, what you'll hear often is that they were seeking something in the world, just like all of us. Some success, some romance, some future, some happiness that would kind of allow their hearts to rest. Something that they believe would make them happy. And yet it never works. It always fails them eventually. But then something amazing happened. Jesus, in love, entered their story, and he transformed their story. And that's at the heart of the gospel, right? It's the good news that Jesus saves. Let me read to you that same passage I read earlier again that talks about what baptism displays. Romans 6:4, we were buried therefore with him, this is Jesus, by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. Do you notice that? Maybe you didn't kind of notice it the first time. It doesn't say life, then death. That's everyone's story. What does it say? Death, then life. Jesus completely transforms what our story is about. Only in Christ is life then death flipped on its head so that our story as believers becomes death then life. So how is that possible? Again, our verse, it's Romans 6:4. We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death. What we see is that the solution to the death that sin brings is to be dead to sin itself. Paul continues, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. In our death to sin, we're given new life. Right? And this is the good news of the gospel. It says that Jesus, in love, saved us from eternal death by actually going to the cross to take the punishment that you and I deserve for our sins. He suffered eternal death on our behalf. That's what Jesus was doing on the cross. For those who put their trust in him, he was suffering the punishment that we deserve. I mean, kind of slow down and wrap your head around that. He was treated like he lived my sinful life so that he could give me new life. And then he rose from the dead as proof that he had conquered sin and death. And this then is what baptism represents. It's meant to display the work that Jesus accomplished through his death and resurrection, and how, as believers, we are partakers in that salvation. So it's kind of a picture that as we go under the water, it's demonstrating that we died with Christ. And when we surface, it's like we were resurrected with Christ. And so getting baptized is that declaration that we're saved in Jesus, that we're part of this church family. It's a picture of our story, right? Death with Christ, new life in Christ. And so this morning, through the testimonies and baptisms, we're going to celebrate Jesus. I think as you hear the testimonies over and over, that's going to be the theme. They were going through life, trying to figure it out. It wasn't working. And then Christ comes in and changes everything. Only through Jesus does our story of life to death become a story of death to life. Will you pray with me? And Dylan, Father, we thank you for changing our story. We thank you that though for most of the world, their story is life than death, ours becomes death than life, death to sin, death to hell, death to judgment, but new life, eternal life in Christ. And so I pray, Lord, that as we hear the testimonies, that we get to celebrate with them over that beautiful truth. We thank you, Lord. We love you. We praise you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.